right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please, in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to stray away from our Psalms series tonight. And just I'm going to preach a message the Lord laid on my heart for tonight. And, really been something we've been working on. It's going to be a little bit different for me. This is not really maybe how I normally preach and how I normally like to approach my personality in behind the pulpit. But this is something that I think is going to be really a help to us tonight and a blessing. Just a very practical message tonight. Very needed in our lives, I think, something that each one of us could glean from. And we'll get into it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you'll stand with me, we'll read one verse together. Let you stretch for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Thanks for being here tonight. Thanks for being faithful. I know this might have been one of those days for you. And so I'm glad that you made the choice to be in the house of God on one of those days. And so let's just ask God to meet with us and work in our hearts tonight through his word. I have nothing special that I can give or say, but God's word is powerful. We need to hear it. We need to assemble together. And sometimes we just need that refreshment, that fuel, that encouragement, maybe conviction. Depends on the need. But being here is half the battle. The other half is receiving what God has for us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Title of the message tonight is, "Are there cracks in your life?" Are there cracks in your life? Many of these thoughts are something that I read a while back, and the Lord just told me to develop a message and add some verses and put some order to it. And so while some of these things kind of stem from that, I obviously wanted it to be founded upon the Word of God. And so I dug into it. And it's not necessarily a topical message tonight, just something that we need to apply to our lives. So are there cracks in your life? Let's pray. God in heaven, Lord, I need you tonight. I ask that you'd help as we have Bible study tonight of your word regarding the foundation of our lives. And Lord, I pray you'd reveal to us what needs to be changed. God, I pray that you would allow your word to be a lamp, a light, to show us. Lord, we pray the same prayer of David when he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my thoughts, know my life. See if there's anything wicked, Lord." And help us to have that heart and that mindset tonight. Not in an accusing manner from the preacher, but Lord, in a introspective manner that each one of us needs to be able to do. So Lord, I pray you'd help us. Maybe these things would apply to how we reacted to the events of the day today. Maybe these things would apply to how we've reacted to temptations of the week, or maybe you have other plans for this message. But God, I pray you'd help us to be sensitive to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. This illustration keeps coming up time and time again for me. You may have heard about this. This is just something that the Lord wouldn't have let me let go of over the last, I don't know how long. And it's just been rearing, not its ugly head, I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's been just coming up again. And you may have heard of the San Francisco Dam. Due to a population explosion in Southern California in the early 1920s, plans were made to create a large reservoir to help meet the region's growing water needs. Engineer William Mulholland had achieved a great deal of recognition and respect among members of the engineering community when he supervised the design and construction of the longest aqueduct in the world at that time, the Los Angeles Aqueduct. And he was chosen as the chief engineer for the new project. After conducting a thorough study of the topography and geological features of the area, Mulholland was convinced that San Francisco Canyon, about 40 miles northwest of downtown Los Angeles, was the ideal site. Design and construction began in 1924, and at its completion on May 4th, 1926, the magnificent St. Francis Dam rose to a height of 185 feet above the canyon floor. The dam was an engineering marvel, the crown jewel of Mulholland's career. But there was a problem. Although Mulholland wrote of the unstable nature of the face on the eastern side of the canyon, he either misjudged or ignored it. As water began to fill the reservoir, several temperature and contraction cracks appeared in the dam, and seepage began to flow from under the abatements. Mulholland and his assistant chief engineer, Harvey Van Norman, inspected the cracks and judged them to be within expectation for a concrete dam the size of St. Francis. Workers were ordered to seal off the leaks, but they were not entirely successful. Late in 1927, now this dam was completed in 26, so late in 27, a fracture appeared that ran diagonally across the dam. Mulholland inspected the cleft, judged it to be another inconsequential contraction crack, and left it alone. On March 7th, 1928, yet another leak was discovered by a dam employee. He was concerned not only because there was a new leak, but also because the water in this runoff was muddy, indicating possible erosion of the dam's foundation. Mulholland and Van Norman inspected the dam and its various leaks and seepages, finding nothing out of the ordinary or of concern for a large dam. Both Mulholland and Van Norman made it clear that there just wasn't anything to worry about. Mulholland had a reputation to uphold. Surely there couldn't be any critical issues with his masterpiece. Acknowledging major engineering shortcomings would have jeopardized his hard-earned position and reputation. But 2.5 minutes before midnight on March 12, 1928, the St. Francis Dam catastrophically failed. Within 70 minutes of the collapse, the reservoir was virtually empty as 12.4 billion gallons of water began surging down San Francisco Canyon, becoming a 140-foot-high flood wave traveling 18 miles per hour. Countless workmen and their families were never found. The flood left an appalling record of death and destruction. Hundreds and hundreds of lives were claimed. The St. Francis Dam disaster, which effectively ended the career of William Mulholland, remains the second greatest loss of life in California's history after the 1906 San Francisco earthquake and fire. Catastrophic. And cracks in any foundation can have catastrophic effects. And the most catastrophic tragedies of all are the results of cracks in the foundation of our lives. The title of the message is, Are There Cracks in Your Life? These cracks in our lives affect not only us, but they also affect those that we love and we know. And in the busyness of life, in the hectic details of life, with all the responsibilities of family, all the responsibilities of ministry, all the responsibilities of everything that's going on in our lives, we've got to ask ourselves if we might possibly be ignoring certain cracks, overlooking them, acting like they're okay, they're not that big of a deal. You might say that's a hill not worth dying on, or that's not something that requires my attention, but they might be foundational issues of the heart that could lead to disaster. And it's not just going to affect us, it's going to affect other people. And these cracks may not be visible yet to others. These cracks may not be visible to your family, they may not be visible to your friends, but the cracks are there and nonetheless have the potential to cause great destruction and harm that's irreparable if they're not dealt with and properly addressed. And this is why, and just the fact that maybe you, just like I have many times in my life, might not be thinking that what I'm talking about is a big deal, is it probably a red flag that there might be some cracks that you don't think are a big deal. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. A wise Christian will faithfully and conscientiously inspect their lives, inspect the foundation of their lives, and it would be wise of us, it would be wise of me to be honest with myself and honest with God when cracks are discovered. That was the problem with William Mulholland. He was dishonest. He had his reputation to uphold. And so he didn't want to say, yeah, this is something, this whole thing needs to be repaired. No, he just acted like it wasn't that big of a deal. In fact, turn to Matthew chapter 7, please, very quickly. Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says a man with a proper foundation is wise. In Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So God is saying here, a proper foundation is wisdom. And we would demonstrate wisdom if we would inspect our lives, look for indicators of a deeper spiritual problem in our lives. And so what we're going to do tonight is something a little bit different than what maybe I'm used to doing as a preacher, maybe what you're used to me doing as a preacher. So I'm going to go over some different areas that are indicators of a deeper spiritual need of our lives. I'm going to go over certain areas that we need to inspect in our lives to see, is this me? And I'm going to give you basically the points, and I'm going to give you the scripture and the verse reference. When we get to the direct application later on, we're going to turn to each one of these verses of scripture and apply them to our lives. A wise man, the Bible says in Matthew 7:24, is somebody who builds his house upon a rock. And the Bible says a man with a proper foundation is wise. So, what are some areas in our lives that would demonstrate that we have a deeper spiritual need, we have issues in our lives? Colossians 2:6 says this, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. The first area where we need to demonstrate wisdom in inspecting our lives, and maybe the first crack in our lives that would cause an issue, is the fact that maybe we no longer have a vibrant and growing walk with the Lord. So ask yourself, do you have a vibrant and growing walk with God? This is just going to be a very practical, almost like a checklist tonight of certain issues or indicators that there's a problem in the foundation of our Christian walk, our Christian lives. Do you have a vibrant and growing walk with the Lord? Jesus said, if you've received Christ, walk ye in him. In other words, if you're a Christian tonight, walk with the Lord. You with me? Check it off, or red flag. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Again, I'm just going to give you the references, and I'm going to give you the verses on this first part when we get to a direct application, and really what I'm going to call the repair of the cracks of our foundation. We're going to all turn to each one of those repair verses, all right? But these are indicators right here. These might be the cracks in our lives. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says this, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. So do you have a vibrant and growing walk with the Lord? Number two, red flag. We have stopped guarding our hearts from temptation. We have stopped guarding our hearts from temptation. In other words, it's gone beyond just kind of being desensitized. It is something that you're not really worried about anymore. It used to be you wouldn't go there. It used to be you wouldn't do that. It used to be you wouldn't position yourself around those things. It used to be that you'd say to your family, we don't do that. We don't watch that. We don't listen to that. But you just gave up trying because it's just bombarding you. So why even try now? You've stopped guarding your heart from temptation. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all what? Diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it? Number three, red flag. That maybe there's a problem with the foundation of your Christian walk. We have allowed our thought lives to wander. We have allowed our thought lives to wander. Now, this is not a verse in the Bible. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. It's not a verse in the Bible, but it's true. We've allowed our thought lives to wander. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. You've allowed your thought life to wander, but you've got to intentionally direct your mind towards the things of God. Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Along those same lines, red flag number four, we rationalize thoughts. We justify our behaviors. We rationalize thoughts and justify our behaviors that previously would have convicted our conscience. We rationalize things that we used to not be okay with. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And here's what Paul said. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, we've gotten to a point where we no longer blush at the things we used to blush at. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible in Jeremiah 6:15 where it says, were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Sad. That's sad. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. God is saying, my people, he asked a question. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? They should be, but no. They couldn't even blush. It no longer bothers them. It's no longer something where they say, this is a sin against God. I'm ashamed of this. It's not a big deal. It's a sad place to get to. We rationalize thoughts and behaviors. Number five, we put a priority on things that don't matter. We put a priority on temporal things like money, position, recognition. We put a priority on those things over things that do matter, like holiness, like pleasing God, godliness, like integrity. We put priority on things that are temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We read this often when we're taking up the offering on Sundays. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt nor thieves do not break through or steal. That's important. And we need these reminders. And if this is something where we're putting priority on temporal things. I'm not saying there's certain things in this life that aren't important, but if we're putting priority on those things over what's holy, over what's right, over what pleases God, if these temporal things are causing us to compromise on the eternal things, then we've got it out of whack, and that's a red flag, and that's a crack in our foundation. Number six. We emphasize our reputation with men over our relationship with God. Or we emphasize the public over the private. We care more about a reputation with men than we do our relationship with God. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We need knowledge. We need wisdom. Listen, we have situations and difficulties and trials and discouragements and challenges in our lives. We have specific things in our dealings with each other and with people at work. And we need wisdom in all of those things. We need wisdom in when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our health. And when we see these red flags, these cracks, we need wisdom how to deal with them. I'm just saying, every area of our life, we need God's knowledge. We need God's wisdom. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Where does it start? Where do I begin to even come close to having the right answers or taking the right step? Where do I even start in this situation? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we look to God and our first reaction, our first desire, our first purpose is, I want to please God. That's the fear of God. That's acknowledging Him for who He is. It's a holy reverence for the Lord. And it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of knowledge. Now we have the first step. We've taken the first step. God, I want to please You. Well, that's a good start, child. That's a good start. Start there. But we're so concerned about our reputation with others. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He's saying, quit trying to be a people pleaser. Can't cater to everybody, can you? But you can please God. In fact, James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So some red flags here in your foundation. You no longer have a vibrant, growing walk with the Lord. You've stopped guarding your heart from temptation. You've allowed your thought lives to wander. You're rationalizing your thoughts, justifying your behaviors that you used to be have a conscience against, you used to be convicted over. You care more about maybe the things of this world than the things of God. You put priority on things that are temporary, and you emphasize your reputation over your relationship with God. Another one, you dismiss sin, or you excuse sin. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. What did Adam say? God is that woman You gave me. We preached about that for a while. Just kidding. And then what did Eve say? It was Satan. He deceived me. And just passing the buck and excusing our sin. It's not my fault. It's not that big of a deal. And when we get to that place where we're excusing ourselves, then that is a red flag that not only is there a crack in our foundation, that's a red flag that we care more about us than we do about God and pleasing God. We care more about what makes us feel good, and we care more about our reputation than we do about what God makes happy. It doesn't matter if I think it is okay or not. If the Bible says it's not, then it's not. Okay? And so if it's something that pleases God, or if it's something that displeases God, that's really where it stops right there. There's no argument. We don't even need to have the conversation. It doesn't please God. Here's another red flag. You stop seeking counsel from others. You stop caring about those who might be spiritual. You stop listening to the multitude of counselors where there's safety. you all of a sudden think nobody else knows or understands, and everybody else is wrong. That's a red flag. Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken, here, this is good. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So if, implying then, because we get that from the perspective that he meant it, but implying then, if I'm the one overtaken by a fault, and somebody who is spiritual takes this verse to heart and tries to appropriate it, then I ought to see they care, they love, they're trying to help, and I need to listen. So when you get to the place where you stop seeking counsel from others and discourage others from requiring accountability in your life, that's a crack in your spiritual foundation. That is a red flag. Another red flag, we begin to pridefully look to ourselves rather than focus on Jesus. We think we can live life without church, without God, without reading our Bible, without prayer. We think we're good because maybe we've been educated in the Word of God. This is our Wednesday night crowd. Pretty much everybody in here knows the Bible, probably as much as I do, or more. And we get to a place where we think, you know what? I know. I already know. I already know. There was this girl in our youth group back in Arkansas who would say to Miss Sandy every time that she tried to help her and show that she cared, I know, I know, I know. Well, if you know, then why are you doing it? You know? Show me you know. We get to the place in our lives where we feel like we know and we don't need that counsel. We don't need that help. We don't need that encouragement or that appropriating Galatians 6:1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit and meekness. And we begin to pridefully look to ourselves rather than focus on Jesus. But 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And if we continue to ignore cracks in our integrity, we are positioning ourselves for what happened in that illustration that I read, an inevitable and monumental collapse. If we continue to ignore those things that we are looking at, not that big a deal. Oh, you know what? That's not a big deal. That was not a big deal either. But if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we're going to put a red flag on this crack and that crack and that crack. And pretty soon we realize our whole foundation is just riddled with cracks. And pretty soon we're going to have a catastrophe. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. This is huge, Christian. I look at this and I'm convicted. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Prosper. Why am I not getting anywhere? Why am I not making any spiritual progress? Why am I not being excited about the things of God? And we might blame this or that or this or that. This might not work out the way one or that person or whatever the situation may be. But really, we've got to look inwardly and realize we might be covering the sins in our lives. And if we are, the Bible says we're not going to prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh then shall have mercy. Proverbs 16:18 goes on to say, pride goeth before what? Anybody know? Destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Yeah. Now, when we continue to ignore cracks in our integrity, we're positioning ourselves for a monumental collapse, bringing reproach not only to ourselves, but to our families, to our congregations, to the cause of Christ. Proverbs 14:34 says this. that sin is a reproach to any people. It's a reproach. We're in grave danger of not finishing the race that God has set for us. I'm not talking about salvation, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that we're to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, but we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and we're to run with patience the race that is set before us, implying that if I don't lay aside the weight and sin, then I can't run the race. Are you with me tonight? And so we've got to lay them aside and properly run the race. And that's why I said if we continue to ignore the cracks in our integrity, we are positioning ourselves for an inevitable and monumental collapse, bringing reproach to not only ourselves, our families, our congregation, the cause of Christ, and we're in danger of not finishing the race God has given us to complete. Brother Glenn says it all the time in music practice. People remember how you start, and they remember how you finish. He didn't come up with that, by the way, but he says it more than anybody I know. So it's good to remember. And so Paul wrote of his daily decision. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please, in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul wrote of his daily decision, really to inspect his foundation, prevent cracks in his life. And he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Are there cracks forming in your life? Is there something that's revealing a deeper foundational issue? If there are, we need to take some, whatever steps necessary. Remember, I've been preaching out of Psalms, and I said, look, if the Bible says that there's going to be blessings in my life, blessed is the man, then I ought to say, well, I want those blessings because I need God's blessing. So whatever it takes to get those blessings, God, I want to do it. If you say do this, I want to do it so I get those blessings. You say don't do this, I want to not do that. I want to avoid that so that I can receive your blessings. And if there's any way that I can shore up the foundation, seal up the cracks, or bring honor and glory to the Lord in my life, then I ought to desire to take the steps needed to strengthen that in my life. So I'm going to give you a handful of things here, and I'm going to have you turn to each verse. We're going to go quickly through this part, but let's go to Proverbs 28, please. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Now, here's what I did, though. I cheated. I typed these out for myself so I don't have to turn in my Bibles to them. And so if I'm reading the wrong verse or I messed up somehow, you just get my attention and let me know. All right? Proverbs 28, verse 13. Please, in your Bibles, I want you to see this. Maybe you ought to underline it. But basically, how can we take steps to strengthen this foundation in our lives? What is it that we can do about these cracks in our foundation in the spiritual walk? Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So acknowledge the sin, the cracks. Acknowledge and seek God in repentance. Christian, God wants you to repent. He does. But this isn't to earn salvation. This is to restore a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Acknowledge the cracks and sincerely seek God. Acknowledge them. Quit pretending like they're not there. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Number two, determine to live according to the word of God. Go to Psalm 119, 105, please. Psalm 119, 105. Read this out loud with me. Psalm 119, verse 105. Many of you haven't memorized. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Determine to live according to the word of God. I've got these cracks in my life. What do I need to do about it? Live according to the word of God. because he'll guide and direct in your life. His word will reveal. It's a light. It's a light. Don't ignore God's word. Don't ignore reading God's word. Don't ignore time in church. Be around God's word as much as possible. Much as possible. Number three, how can I take what steps do I need to strengthen the foundation of my life? What can I do about these cracks in my life? Number three, turn to Hebrews 10:25. These are simple. I told you, this is very practical tonight. Very practical. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, you're here on a Wednesday night, so obviously you think the assembling of ourselves together is important. But there's another portion to that verse, and that is this exhorting one another, and so much the more. So much the more. When we get to the place in our lives where we are, one, not thinking that church is important, well, that's a major crack to be concerned about. Two, not concerned about the needs of others, then we've gotten to a place, again, where we are selfish, we're looking to self, and we're not looking to God. Number four, seeking God in prayer. Turn to Psalm 55:17. John R. Rice said this, all of our failures are prayer failures. Psalm 55, verse 17. Steps to strengthen the foundation of our lives. Acknowledge the problem. Seek God. Live according to His word. Be faithful to His house and exhort each other and seek God in prayer. Psalm 55, 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Oh, how we need to go to God in prayer. I need to. Psalm 119:11. Turn there. Psalm 119:11. Number five. Psalm 119:11. Just practical steps to strengthening the foundation of lives. Psalm 119:11. Read God's word daily. Commit it to memory. Read God's word daily. Commit it to memory. I mean, most of these cracks we talked about, most of these foundational problems we talked about are sin problems. And Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin. So the Bible then, if we live according to it and we live by it, it's going to help us with our sin problem. Right? It's going to help us with our sin problem. Proverbs 11:30. Hey, most of these are in Proverbs or Psalms, so it's not that far to turn, all right? Proverbs 11, verse 30. Read this out loud with me, would you? Ready, begin. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Number six. How do we strengthen the foundation? Tell others about Christ. Point them to Jesus. Share our testimony with a lost and dying world. Win some souls. Listen, we started with Matthew 7. And Jesus said, a wise man builds his house on a rock. There's wisdom in a right foundation. And it says here that he that wins souls is wise. This is a foundation that every Christian ought, this is part of the foundation every Christian ought to have in their lives, telling others about Christ. And here's why. You engage yourself in the activity of telling somebody about Jesus Christ, and it causes you to think about souls. And when it causes you to think about souls, it causes you to think about hell, it causes you to think about heaven, it causes you to think about God, it causes you to think about your testimony and the fact that you need to live in a way that's pleasing to God. And really, it's a domino effect, and it affects other areas of your lives. All because you want somebody to be saved. And it's going to help strengthen the foundation of your life. Number seven, turn to Psalm 1, please. Psalm 1. We preached on this, but let's look at it. Psalm chapter 1, look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, I know ordinances, precepts, law, all of those sayings are talking about the Bible, but what it's saying here is this idea of the word law, yes, it's talking about the Bible, but it's actually talking about standards, God's standards. You study that word out, and when you realize that by intentionally meditating, his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We preach about meditating as we've been going through the book of Psalms. I'm not going to re-preach that and re-explain all that is, but you're focusing in intentionally. You're focused on God's standards. In other words, what pleases God? It matters to you. It matters to you. Number eight. We started with this earlier. I'm going to read it to you. You don't need to turn here. 2 Corinthians 10:5. By guarding our thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, guarding our thought life. How do you stop thinking? Just a silly illustration. I've done this before. How do you stop thinking about the number eight? I said eight, so you guys are thinking about the number eight. Stop thinking about the number eight. Don't think about eight. Don't think about the Goodyear, guy. Don't think about donuts. Don't think about that shape. How do you stop thinking about eight? Well, you start thinking about four, the number four. Right? Now you're thinking about the number four. Why? Because I said the number four. And you're only going to think about the number eight when I mentioned number eight. But now you're thinking about number four because I just mentioned. I know that's silly, but how do I stop thinking about this? How do I stop worrying about this? How do I stop focusing on this sin or this thought or this worry or this anxiety? How do I stop? Well, you start thinking about something else. And that's why Philippians 4:8 talks about what sort of things are honest, true, just, virtue, praise. Think on these things. How do I do that? Get in the Word of God. Focus in on His Word. Start playing some music that is pleasing and honoring and glorifying to God. Listen to some preaching. You focus, you intentionally just start thinking about it. It's not about, I got to stop thinking about the number eight. Well, if you say that, you're thinking about the number eight. But you've got to start thinking about the number four. And now you're no longer thinking about that other number because you're thinking about four. Intentionally focus on that which honors God, which pleases God. Put it in front of your face. Put yourself around it. Bringing into captivity. Number nine, loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. That's Mark 12:30. You know the verse. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy mind. Loving isn't just an emotion. Loving is an action as well. Show that love to God. That'll strengthen your Christian foundation. Number 10, last, we desperately need a great commitment to the Great Commission. So go to Matthew 28, if you would. Matthew chapter 28. See, Paul admonished us to properly build. And that's not possible without the thing that matters most to Christ. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Here we go. See what we get when we're doing what God wants us to do. We get his presence. We don't just get his power. We don't just get his power. He said, all power is given to me. We get his power. That's awesome. But when we do this, we get his presence. And lo, I am with you always. I'm with you. He doesn't just mean, I'm with you when you go out, knock on doors. Although, that's definitely applicable. He's saying, I'm with you. You serve me. You tell those about Christ. I'm with you. I'm helping you. I'm strengthening you. Even to the ends of the world. Now let's go back to the verse that we started with, and that's 1 Corinthians 3:10. 1 Corinthians 3:10. So, to have a beautiful building, to have a proper construction, the foundation is absolutely necessary. You've got to build from the ground up. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." When you lay a proper foundation, you can continually build on that foundation. And we can look forward to one day hearing Christ say these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's my desire. Maybe that'll help you this week as you finish out the rest of your week. Just take an introspective look at your life, your Christian walk, and just answer the question, have I stopped guarding my heart from temptation? Do I have a walk with the Lord? Have I allowed my thought life to wander? Have I rationalized my thoughts, justified my behaviors? Have I put priority in things that don't matter, that are going to be burned up, and not priority on eternal things? Am I emphasizing my reputation over my relationship with God? Am I excusing sin? Am I looking to myself rather than focusing on Jesus? Don't ignore those cracks in your life. Don't do that. Acknowledge them and seek God. Stay in his word. Stay faithful to him. Tell others about Christ. Meditate on God's word. Guard your thought life. Love God. And build from the ground up. Take heed how you build there upon. And if we do so, we can look forward to Christ saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."